Hi, and welcome to the Deeper Than Money podcast. I am your host, Chloe Elise. I'm a millennial money coach, speaker, dog mom, and a 7 on the Enneagram, and I am on a mission to prove to you that finances can be fun and easy. On the Deeper Than Money podcast, we will dive into all things millennial finance, debt, saving, mindset, and how to have financial freedom to enjoy life in your 20s and 30s. I want you to leave this podcast with more confidence around your moolah and the belief that your biggest financial dreams are possible for you. So, let's talk money. Hello, and welcome back to the Deeper Than Money podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about splitting expenses with friends and all of the do's and do nots. When it comes to splitting expenses with friends, a lot of times it's not just tangible, right? There's the tangible problems where you're like, wait, how should we split things? What should I say? How should I ask? But it's also the deeper than money side of it too, right? Because it's like, well, I don't want to say certain things that my friends think I'm cheap. Or what if I say I can't afford something and then everyone's like, wow, she's broke. And we're so worried about not just what to say tangibly with the finances. There's also so much charge, energetic and emotional charge behind these conversations that can lead to a lot of stress around how do we split things. And then if we don't feel confident in the do's and do nots of splitting things, then sometimes what happens is we're at a big dinner and somebody's like, oh, let's just split it evenly. And you're like, holy shit, I came here and ordered water and an appetizer because I didn't want to spend much. And now I'm stuck owing, you know, the person who paid $60 when I got a less than $10 meal. But you're like, I don't want to say anything. So you don't say anything, but then you're resentful and then you're mad you went and then you're mad at everyone else. And it just creates this really icky energy with money and it can lead to resentment and all these other things. So it's so important to have this confidence, have this air of confidence around splitting expenses with friends. So your relationship with money is never negatively impacted by hanging out with friends, especially for me at this time in my life. And I know so many people can relate to this, hanging out with friends. And again, when I say splitting things with friends, this could also go and be like with a roommate or with family. I more so just mean like in group settings. Like I'm not necessarily going to be talking about how to split expenses with a roommate when it comes to utilities. But like same thing can apply in this scenario, but I'm more talking about like group trips in this episode or like collective expenses, because I know that can be such a stressor, especially, oh my gosh, I feel like in your 20s and 30s, but honestly, you know, that goes on, but it's like, it's the bachelorette party, it's the group dinner, it's going to the concerts with a big group, and it's all of these different things that are constantly coming up. And if you don't have these do's and do nots in your tool belt, it can feel overwhelming. Okay, so let's go through them. We are going to be talking about 6 do's and 6 do nots of splitting expenses with friends. What should we start with? Should we start with the do's or do nots? What should we start with? Okay, let's start with the do nots, actually. I was going to start with the do's, but you know, just like raw as I'm getting into this, I'm thinking, no, let's kick it off with the do nots. All right. And again, there are more do's and do nots than just this, but we're going to kick it off with the 6 do's and do nots. And again, these are my personal do's and do nots that I'm sharing with you. Partially sure that, you know, the advice of what I have learned, but also that doesn't necessarily mean these are the standards that you need to lock in. I'm more so am explaining the outcomes of these, the outcomes of not setting boundaries, the outcomes of not having these conversations, because they can lead to resentment stuff. So don't feel like, oh, I don't like, you know, doing it the way she did it. I like doing it this way. That's great. If you have a confidence and a boundary already set that works really great for you, that's different than what I'm saying, kudos to you. That's amazing. Keep it that way. This is more for the person that's like, this feels so chaotic. This feels so stressful. How the hell do I change this? Let's get into it. So we're going to start with the 6 do nots. And these are not in any particular order. Number 1, do's and do nots. We're starting with the do nots. Do not, number 1, buy and then expect Venmos. Number 1 would be like, you, it's 2 a.m. and you're like, you know, do you know what we need right now at 2 a.m. when we're about to get kicked out of the bar in 5 minutes? A quick round of shots so we can have the spins and the Uber home, right? You're thinking like, of course, that is what needs to happen right now. So you go up to the bar by yourself. You order a round of 6 shots for your 5 other friends. You bring them back to your friends and you're like, shots, I got a shot. Everyone's like, oh, I don't need a shot right now. Maybe they take the shots, whatever else. The next day, going to your friends and being like, oh, since we're splitting expenses, if everyone could Venmo me for that shot. No, we are not going to buy and then expect people to pay for something they did not sign up for. And it goes the same way. It goes the same way if someone offers you a shot and then the next day is like, hey, can you Venmo me for that shot? I would absolutely say something back. At the very least, I'll give you like 2 boundaries. The boundary number 1 would be paying them for that shot and then just saying like, hey, here's the Venmo for that shot. In the future, like I didn't really want a shot and I didn't ask for it. I would have known I was paying for it. I would have said no thank you and not had one. So in the future, like if you're wanting me to purchase the shot, like don't just assume that. Like I will buy my own shot. That would be boundary number 1. That would be like an intermediate boundary. The excellent boundary in that scenario would be responding back and being like, hey, I'm totally fine. Let's say you also were splitting dinner and owed them for dinner or something. Saying, hey, totally fine. Splitting dinner, of course, paying my portion. Here's that. Paying for a shot that I didn't ask for feels a little icky. It feels a little weird to me. And so I don't feel comfortable Venmoing you back for that. Okay. That would be like an excellent boundary. If you're like, holy shit, I'm not a confrontational person. You don't have to implement that, right? You don't have to go that far. Maybe implement the intermediate boundary where you do Venmo them for the shot, but then say, in the future, if I want to buy a shot, I will buy a shot or I will ask for a shot. But in that scenario where you just brought it to me and had already bought it and I just took it because you handed it to me, I don't want to feel like I have to then pay you for it, right? So both ways. 1, don't do that to other people. Unless you're all sitting in a circle and everyone's like, should we get shots? Yes, we should get shots. We should get shots. And then you say, okay, well, I can go grab those and then I can Venmo charge everyone after or whatever else and be like, okay, they're $8 pieces, everybody in. And then everyone's like, yeah, that's very different. Do not buy and then expect someone to pay you for something. And then vice versa, set that boundary. And if that's a continual thing, go back to that person. The next time they bring shots, be like, nope, I'm good. And then they have an extra shot. Well, somebody else can take it. You did not ask for that. You should not have to be paying for something you didn't sign up for. All right, next one on the do not list, number 2 of the do nots. Now, this is kind of a hot take. This is kind of a hot take, but I stand by it so firmly, is this, hey, yeah, just get my next round. Like, let's say somebody ended up paying for your dinner and you were like, hey, how much do I owe you for the dinner? And they're like, oh, just get my meal next time. This is a huge do not for me. Like, if somebody says that, I'll be like, oh, no, like, it's really important to me that we square up now. I do not like the game of, okay, you owe me a beer or you owe me dinner or something. 1, I don't like feeling like I'm owing people. Number 2, I can kind of be a forgetful person. So like if somebody bought me a dinner 2 months ago and then I'm supposed to remember randomly 2 months from now, I owe them a dinner and then plan that dinner. And that, like, that to me feels like so much extra work where I'm like, no, why would I add more work to my plate? And then what if I forget? And then that person is resentful. Like, wow, I bought her dinner. She never bought me that. Like, it just creates weird energy that I don't like. It creates this like lingering energy. So if somebody ever says that to me, if like they buy me a drink or something, and I'm like, oh, how much was it? And they're like, oh, just buy me a drink later. Normally I will immediately respond and be like, let me square up. Like, you know, we can figure out other stuff. And I'm sure like down the road that will happen, but like, I'd rather just square up. Unless it's a situation where like there's two of you and one person buys the first round. And then you're like, hey, how much was it? And they're like, well, we're probably going to get a second round. You just get the second round of the exact same thing that we're getting. So it's the same. Sure. Like, there are scenarios where it's like that. But again, I do not like that like lingering like, oh, just get me a beer later. Because so I've seen this happen a million times where one person says that to somebody else. And then later in the night or later in the week or a couple months later, it's like, oh, I always get her and she never goes and does it back. Or like, I've got her like five drinks and she's only bought me one. It's like, that's so hard to find fairness and equality in that. And so let's just square up, right? Let's just square up and keep rolling. So that whole philosophy when it comes to splitting things of like, just buy me something later. I don't like it because again, it can create a lot of problems and resentment. And there's just this like, I don't know, lingering, like sticky energy that I don't like to fuck with. Okay. Number three in the do nots, just assuming that you're going to split everything evenly when it wasn't an even purchase. So again, this is huge, especially when it comes to like big meals or something where everybody's getting something different. And it also very much depends on the crowd and what everyone wants to do. Okay. So this is going to, I don't want to get too much into what you should do because that's the do's that I'm going to talk about after. But again, just assuming like, oh, we'll just put it on one card and split the bill evenly when not every single person agrees to that, isn't the best option. And especially, let's say there's a group of 10 people and there's like three people there, which to them, they purposefully got the something cheaper on the menu because they didn't budget to spend a lot on dinner. Maybe they didn't get a drink. Like, they're purposefully spending in a certain way. And then somebody at the table is like, oh yeah, we'll just split the bill. It is a lot of pressure on those three people who were really trying to be budget conscious and whatever else to speak up and say, actually, I came to this dinner and I only wanted to spend a certain amount and I purposely ordered that, so I would only like to pay mine. That's a really hard thing for somebody to speak up in a table of 10 of like, oh wow, everyone else is fine with splitting it except for me. And now I'm really stressed because now I have to pay this. So just assuming that is really like, that's a lot. So again, I'm going to talk more about what you can do instead when we talk about the do's. But again, the do not is just assuming that at a big dinner or something like that, that you'll split everything even. Again, there's exceptions to this. Like, there's been situations where my friends and I are going to a brunch and it's buffet style brunch with bottomless mimosas or something where everyone is getting the buffet, everyone's getting the bottomless mimosa. So quite literally, everyone's total is the exact same. Sure, that makes sense. But again, being aware and having those conversations matter so much so that one person isn't, you know, getting screwed. All right, number four of do nots of splitting. Assuming one person can put it on their card. Again, decide ahead of time. I grew up in small town Iowa. I'm back in Iowa a lot. And frankly, I live in Kansas City. And even in Kansas City, but especially in Iowa, everything is split by however many people. Like, the waitress will come, waiter or waitress will come and say, hey, how do you want this split? And it's like, oh, the two of us are together, or it's all separate or whatever else. And that's not a weird thing to do in Iowa or a lot of times in Kansas City too, where there's a group and we're going to split it a bunch of different ways. Like that's normal. However, when I'm traveling and I'm in a bigger city or maybe at a nicer restaurant, that is not an option. The first time a couple years ago, me and a pretty big group of my college friends went to Chicago. A couple of my best friends live in Chicago, and we did St. Patty's in Chicago, and a big group of us, and there wasn't one place that would like split it up. Like every single thing we did was one bill. And there was like, I don't even know, maybe 15 of us, maybe even more. And again, when you're in situations where you know it's going to be one bill that needs to be split, don't just assume, oh, you know, let's take turns putting it on our card. Because again, you're assuming that throwing, you know, $800 expense on everyone's credit card or on everyone's debit card is fine. And again, you don't want to decide that. A lot of times, again, I don't want to get too much into the do's because I'm going to talk about that next. But a lot of times there's someone who's like, oh, put it on my card. I want the points back or whatever else. Then you can Venmo me. But decide that ahead of time. Like, hey, who wants to pick this up on their card or whatever else? And one thing, again, that I like to do, which again, I'm skipping ahead kind of to the do's, but whoever does want to put it on their card, I like there being a secondary person that's like the treasurer. And it's so funny because in my friend group, this is so like this happens to a freaking T. I just went on back-to-back snowboarding trips with a group of friends. And again, this is literally how it ends up being. Somebody's like, oh, I want to put it on my card. And then a secondary person is making sure that that person is getting paid back correctly. And so again, a lot of times people are like, oh, I bought a $14 drink, so I'm Venmoing $14. And it's like, no, you bought a $14 drink, plus there's taxes on that, plus a percentage of the tip. And so making sure that that person who did put their card down isn't getting screwed out of, hey, I put my card down, but now I'm in charge of paying the entire tip amount and all of the taxes owed. Like that sucks because then the person who put their card down is literally paying for the expense of other people. So again, you don't ever want to assume that one person is putting their card down. Decide that ahead of time, but then also somebody helping in making sure that person who put their card down is getting paid correctly back. Number five of do nots. This whole we will figure it out later vibe, when especially when you're on a vacation or whatever else. Again, there's like exceptions to all of this. I understand like it's you're at a bar and it's super loud. I don't expect like, hey, everyone stop clubbing. Stop twerking on the dance floor and pull out Venmo. I get that, but like I like to figure things out in real time unless you're using like a splitting app. I know Splitwise, I've used that one before. The kind of, and again, I get it, but I want to be realistic. Splitwise is actually super, super, super cool. I really like it. However, the kind of problem with it is just the before you go on a trip, everyone has to download it, then everyone has to upload their receipts, and everyone has to like add who is there, whatever. Like it just sometimes can create a little bit more work that realistically people don't do. And then because they don't do it, it ends up just not happening. So I would either recommend using something like Splitwise, which is again an app, or I think there's other ones. Splitwise is the only one I've ever used. Or just staying even. I personally like staying even, especially if it's like group trip or something where there's a group chat. It is so easy to, as somebody, you know, so runs the grocery store, spends $80 buying groceries that you need for the Airbnb. Okay, perfect. That $80 divided by six people is what? So you upload the receipt and then you say, what did I say? $80? Let's just say $80 and there's eight people. Putting the receipt and then putting $10 a person, Venmo. And then everyone just in real time does a quick Venmo. Everything's up to date. I mean, really, there's not that many expenses over a trip, but the little things add up. A quick Uber, whatever else, like just again, go and get it taken care of and get it split right away. Now, there might be a situation where
you're like, I literally don't care. I'm fine with just paying for this. There are times when, you know, I'll buy an Uber or something or a round of drinks and I don't want paid back for it. Like, I just wanted to get that round. I want nothing in return. I don't want paid back. I don't want people to be like, oh, Chloe got that round. Now I need to get a round. No, there's no strings attached. I just am fine contributing that Uber. I'm fine contributing some drinks. I'm fine bringing some snacks or something like that. There's just times I want to do that. That is okay. If you are like, you paid for an Uber and you're like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't need paid back. Sure, fine. Don't put in the group chat, whatever else. But don't let there be any strings attached to it. And also remember that that means you can't get resentful if somebody else pays for the Uber home. Let's say you paid for the Uber there and you're like, it was only $5 a person. I'm not going to put that in the group chat. But then somebody else paid for the Uber home that was also $5 a person. And then they put that in the chat and said, hey, $5. And you're like, well, I don't want to have to pay them. I paid for the Uber there. No, because then you did it with strings attached. So either two options. One, put your shit in the group chat too and say, hey, $5 a person. Or be like, no, I just wanted to contribute that to the trip. I'm okay with it being uneven, right? Like, there's times where, again, my friends are my favorite people in the world. And I also feel very, very, very blessed. I've talked about this on podcasts before, but I work my ass off and I work my ass off and also have a very wonderful income that I've, you know, grown up over the last couple of years. And again, I work very hard for that. So do my other friends. Like, I have friends that are nurses and work 12-hour shifts and have had the craziest, like, just gut-wrenching shifts that they've worked on. I have teachers, friends that are teachers that are literally have like bite marks at the end of the day. And all of my friends work really, really, really hard. But I got so lucky to the point where the job that I'm doing that I work really hard at is something where I have been able to come into money and earn money and whatever else. I don't feel entitled to that just because I've worked hard, because all of my friends work fucking hard. And so when there's situations where I get to just pick up the Uber, pick up the tab or something like that, I love doing that. There's no strings attached. There's no like, oh, then if I have to Venmo them for something, I'm like, oh, I'm annoyed about it. No. I just wanted to do that. I like being in a situation where, oh, I picked up an Uber so people's trip was less expensive, and or I picked up a round and didn't ask for people to Venmo me back, so like their total trip was less expensive. I love that. Like, I love doing that. I gain, like, that brings me joy. It brings me joy to be able to do that. I love supporting the people I love the most, not as a charity thing of like, oh, you need this, literally just of money is a source of energy. And being able to pay for certain things is a way of financially and energetically supporting someone, loving on them, protecting them, like whatever else. I love being able to do that. But again, if you are in a situation where you just want to buy rounds, the key is that you do not want to do it with strings attached. So again, going back to number five, which is, oh, we'll figure it out later. Put it in the group chat and say, hey, here's what people owe me. Or don't, but then don't hold the resentment when other people put something in the group chat and you need to Venmo them for it. So pick one side or the other, but you can't say, oh, I don't need paid back for that, but then be annoyed when somebody else is doing it. Because again, that creates this weird, icky resentfulness energy around money. And we're not doing that. And number five of do nots is do not ghost and not pay back. Again, we want to be super transparent and upfront about costs. We're going to talk about that when it comes to the dues. But you do not want to be the person who's like, oh yeah, you put dinner on your card, I'll pay you back, and then you don't. That is just a shitty situation for the person who did put their card down. And again, you don't want to be that person. On the flip side, if you're the person who did put their card down, people agreed, yeah, we'll Venmo you, and then there's somebody that didn't, do not be afraid to reach out to them and say, hey, as a reminder, dinner was like your portion of dinner was blah, blah, blah. Like if you can Venmo me this week, that would be great. That is so, 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 so important. And on both sides, like we don't want to be ghosted and you don't want to be the ghoster. If you are being ghosted, have a conversation about it. Be like, hey, you know, just a reminder, I'm going to pay my credit card bill and just saw this pop up. Like if you could send me that, that'd be great. Like that does not make you look cheap. That does not make you look whatever, like literally just a reminder. Sometimes it's something where the person completely forgot. They thought they Venmo'd you. They didn't have service. It didn't go through, whatever else. And you sending them that quick text is like, holy shit, like, thank you so much for reminding me. So don't be afraid to say something. And also on the flip side though, if you are the one that owes somebody money for dinner that you agreed to or whatever else, don't make them follow up with you. They're not your parent. Like they're not your babysitter. They do not need to be chasing you down to get money that you owe them. So don't be a dick. Don't ghost. Go and pay it back. All right. Those are the do nots of splitting expenses with friends. So let's talk about the do's. All right. The do's of splitting expenses with friends. Number one, set expectations ahead of time. A lot of this is just changing your language. So instead of saying, hey, do you want to go to a concert with me? Saying, oh my gosh, Noah Kahan is coming to town. It's, I don't know, September 1st and the tickets are looking with fees. Don't forget to look up how much fees are too. The tickets on those dates are looking anywhere between $80 and $150. Would you want to go with me? Give all the expectations of what that looks like prior to getting the commitment from that person. Because a lot of times what happens is someone's like, hey, do you want to go to this concert? And the person's like, oh yeah, sure. And then the person maybe buys the tickets or whatever. And then down the road is like, hey, you owe me, you know, $300 or something. And it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was going to be that much. So set expectations ahead of time. That's number one. Number two, be transparent about when you need the money by, if you're the one buying them, or if you're the person who is Venmoing your friend for the concert tickets in this example, when you can pay that person. So for example, if you are like, dude, I'm fine with buying these concert tickets, but I need the money ahead of time because I don't have that money in my account to pay them, then you need to say that in that initial message. The person's like, you're like, hey, yeah, it's between $80 and $150. Would you want to go? That person's like, yes, I'm in. Text them back and be like, oh my God, amazing. I did everything. I have the checkout page ready. It's going to be $120.15 per person. If you could Venmo me that now, I will go in and buy it. Literally in that scenario, you're saying, hey, pay me now and then I will go in and buy it. And that's totally fine. You can absolutely do that. Or you can tell the person it's $120 or whatever, putting them on my credit card. So I just need it by the 15th of next month. Does that work for you? But asking them ahead of time of basically figuring out when you can get Venmo'd by. And if you're on the flip side and the person's like, hey, do you want to go to this concert? It's between $80 and $150. Being transparent and saying like, hey, I'd love to go to that concert. If we can get the $80 tickets, I'm in. If it's going to be more like $150, I'm probably going to pass. That does not mean, that just can't afford that. It doesn't necessarily mean that. There are things all the time where a friend will ask me if I want to go to an event. And I'm like, if we're going to be spending $50, yeah, I would go to that concert or yeah, I would go to that event. But if we are paying more than that, I don't want to pay that. I mean, like that's not in alignment. That is not a weird thing to ask or a weird thing to say. Again, there's been situations where one of my friends, and God bless my friend group, like I am so, so, so grateful for them for a million reasons. And money transparency in conversations is so much one of them, honestly, which leads me to number three. So let's just talk about that. Price transparency. My friends are so, like, this is such a normal conversation with money in the group chat. And that is something that is so cool and everyone loves, even if they're not saying it. Like that, it's just, it's so nice. And so if you're curious about something, somebody else is too. And if you want to know how much something costs, somebody else is too. And if you are the planner of something, having this price transparency of not just, hey, here's how much the concert ticket is, but like everything that somebody's paying for. So for an example, let's say it's somebody's like bachelorette party or something. And the person organizing it is like, hey, it's $400 a person. Explaining what all that covers of like that covers the Airbnb, the party bus, it covers breakfast every day. It doesn't cover a bottle of alcohol. Like if you want to bring that to drink, then that will be separate. Let people know what they're committing to and how much they're committing to. This is really important because, again, if you're having any lingering resentment of like, wait, I'm paying $400. I thought the Airbnb was only this. Like, what else is this going to? Ask those questions. It is totally fair to be curious of what that's all going to. And again, the more price transparency, the more upfront expectations that people know what they're agreeing to. And again, it just clears the air of everything. Number four, the do of splitting expenses. Agree to how you're splitting things ahead of time. So we talked a little bit about this with the do nots, but if it's a group dinner, is it all on one card? How are you going to split things? Are you going to split things evenly? Are you going to split things based on what you ordered? A lot of times what my group of friends will do is, again, you can basically multiply it by like your meal times basically 20% to see like what your percentage of the tip is, and then factor in taxes, like your percentage of the tax. But again, city tax can change. And so that can be a little bit tricky. And so if the two ways you could basically do it are literally multiplying your meal cost by, again, the 20% tip plus whatever the sales tax is for wherever you are, which again, sometimes you're like, I don't know what percentage that is. Then you have to calculate that. So that can be a little trickier, but you can absolutely do that, especially if things are split unevenly. But if everybody's kind of getting a similar thing, but just a little bit different, the other thing that's kind of even easier is if you're going to split things evenly, splitting the tip and tax evenly, and then adding in your meal separately. So like, for example, this is what my groups do a lot, just because it makes it pretty simple and pretty easy to do in real time, especially if things are split pretty evenly. So it's like, let's say the tip was $20 and the tax was $10. So that's $30. And let's say there are three people. So everyone owes $10 plus whatever their meal was. So in the group chat, there will be a picture of the receipt. And then under it, it'll say $30 for tip and tax plus whatever you got. So then everyone goes in and they're like, okay, $14 for my drink, $25 for my meal, plus $10 that I owe for tip and tax. And that's what they Venmo the person. So again, that's kind of, you can split it however you want, but that's kind of like an easier way that still has some splitting it evenly, again, with the tip and tax, but also still has the individual of what you actually ended up getting. Okay, number five, start with your limits if someone else is planning. I think for a lot of people, there's this struggle of somebody being like, hey, I don't know, I have a destination wedding. Do you want to come? Or like, I want to go somewhere on my bachelorette party, or I want to do a girls trip, or I want to go to this concert or whatever else. Are you in? And then you're like, oh gosh, I'm in at a certain price, but I'm out at a certain price too. Like, you're like, how much is it? And the person's like, $2,000. And you're like, oh, then no. And a lot of people struggle with that because you're like, there's this embarrassment of, oh no, I'm telling them I can't afford it or whatever else. So just starting, like, let's say somebody else is planning something. And they're like, hey, would you be in for this concert? Like, your initial response being your boundary. So being like, yeah, I'd be down. If we can get tickets 130 or under, I'm in. If it's over, like, I'm probably gonna sit this one out, but thanks for thinking of me, right? Then right away, you're setting your boundary. So then that person can decide, okay, cool. Can I get tickets that are cheaper? Or maybe that person's like, no, I want floor seats. So they're like, okay, well, I'm actually gonna try to do floor seats. I might try to find somebody else that wants to go. Like, if you do want to go and get different seats with other people, we could tailgate together. I don't know, something like that. But just setting that boundary right away, so then you don't have to go back and be like, actually, no, I can't afford it. Because I think a lot of people struggle with that conversation, even though you shouldn't have to. But just food for thought there. And then number six, have people Venmo ahead of time. If you have been burnt in the past, or if you struggle with the stress of, oh my gosh, I'm going to put this on my card, what if people don't Venmo me, and then I have an extra ticket and then I have to sell it, or, you know, whatever else, just have people Venmo ahead of time. Set that boundary early of, hey, I'm buying the concert tickets. Everyone needs to Venmo me by today or by next week, and then I will buy these tickets. Or saying, hey, can everybody Venmo me, I don't know, this week? If not, like, please let me know just so I can plan that. And then again, being able to plan when that's going to happen and have those conversations. The biggest thing is that hanging out with your friends, we live in a capitalistic society. And so yes, money often plays a part in the fun we're having, the things we're doing, the food we're eating, whatever else. But your friends can be this safe space, and these safe conversations can be had around money, to the point where, again, at first it might be a little like, oh, a little nerve-wracking to have these conversations. But truly, as time goes on, they become easier and easier and easier. Having a conversation about money is such a normal thing in my friend group. And again, that's taken a while to change and to cultivate that relationship and that level of, like, trust or whatever. But for example, last year, me and three of my best friends went to Taylor Swift. And of course, those tickets were things where it was like, when you get in the queue, if you have access to the tickets, you buy it right away or you're not getting it. And so prior to that happening, we had a group discussion of, like, what's the most everyone is willing to spend? Where would we like to be? Because again, there, it was like, you get in there, you're fighting for your life to get tickets, and you're just like grabbing absolutely whatever you can. And so it was like, we can't decide that day up. We need to decide that ahead of time. So it was like, okay, what is everybody willing to spend? Who is putting their card down for the tickets? When can people Venmo buy? Like, all of those different things are happening prior to, weeks prior to the concert ever happening. And so again, you are getting that, the expectation set so far in advance that it allows for when it's time to buy those tickets, or when the concert actually happens, there's no stress, there's no like fear of those conversations, because you set the expectation early. So you just get to enjoy your time with your friends and not be worried, oh no, how are we going to split this meal? What if I get screwed over? Or what if I get roped into, you know, paying for those shots I didn't ask for? Like, you've set the expectation and your boundaries so far in advance that it ends up just being such a relaxing time, so much fun, so much excitement, where you don't have to stress about money, and splitting feels easier than ever. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Those are the six do's and do nots of splitting expenses with friends. I hope you loved the episode. If you did, go leave a review, shoot me a DM, let me know what you liked, what you didn't like, and what kinds of episodes you want to see in the future, so I can go and create the perfect episode for you at this time. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you back next week for another episode of the Deeper Than Money podcast.